also going to speak about prayer. And I hope that if you looked at the bulletin that you thought we are going to speak about the Japanese prayer called Keep On Keeping On. Have you seen it? I hope my font confused you and you thought it's Japanese. That was the idea. But we're going to be speaking about prayer. And we're going to take our scripture reading from Luke chapter 18 in a bit. A little story that Jesus told about prayer. Now we know that Jesus loved telling stories, but why did he love telling all these stories? We know that he had all these important truths that was in these stories, but if these truths that Jesus wanted to teach the people, if they were so important, were they not too important to just leave stories for it? Because we tend to think if something is very important, it should be on the opposite spectrum of a continuum where stories is on the other side, if it's this important. Yet Jesus used stories to convey truth. And Jesus' teaching style, employing these stories, took some people by surprise. But it was so captivating, and it was so approachable when he taught in these stories. And we call them parables. In fact, there was one place in Mark chapter 4 where the gospel writer wrote down that at that time, Jesus was teaching people next to the lake. And for that whole day, from verse 34, he did not say anything to them without using a parable. So for this whole day, Jesus was teaching people next to the lake, and it was just story upon story upon story, teaching them all these truths that they probably wouldn't understand any way else. And people were amazed at his teaching. The way he communicated to them was accessible to everyone, but even though it was a story, it still carried the authority that the first century Jews had never experienced before. It was a first for them. And maybe this was the only way to get people to understand these things that Jesus taught. Because it was the start of a whole new religion. A religion built on who Jesus was, the Son of God, and what he did, or in their case, what he was going to do. And all of this was taught in a very crazy world at the time, a very polarized world. There was a lot of fighting, and because it's Rome against everybody in the world, but especially in their era, Rome against the Jews. So it was a very polarized environment. And then in this environment, Jesus is teaching a radical new way of approaching life. And it was really upsetting the apple cart to such an extent that the people listening to him were struggling to understand what he was saying. So then he helped them out with these stories of him, these parables. And the one that we are going to read today is about prayer and how not to give up on prayer. That we shouldn't get discouraged in our prayer if our prayers don't get answered right away in the way that we want it. So we're going to take our scripture reading from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, which is the parable of the persistent widow. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? for a lot of people, they find some problem with prayer. And one of those people is Ted Turner, the guy that started up CNN. And he's very critical against Christianity. And he's very verbal about his dislike of any and all things Christian. And you will find some quotes that, of things that he said, like, Christianity is a religion for losers. And Christianity is a crutch for the weak. And there are many quotes similar to these of the things that he said. But, and he's known for that. A lot of people know that about Ted Turner, that he's totally agnostic and that's who he is. But what a lot of people don't know about him is that he was a very devoted Christian at one stage. As a child, he wanted to be a missionary. But then he lost his faith after he watched his sister, Mary Jean, die of complications of the rare form of lupus. And in an interview 10 years after he started CNN, which I think he started in 1980, he told the reporter that he was saved 7 or 8 times before. He didn't get saved once, but he got saved 7 or 8 times. But then, in that same interview, he said he got so disenchanted with the Christian faith after his sister died, because he prayed and prayed for a healing and it didn't happen. And that was the last story. And that is a story that we hear so many times. Someone tells you about the good relationship they had with God, how they were devoted followers of Jesus. And then something really terrible happened to them. Someone very close to them passed away suddenly. Or they got a terrible diagnosis themselves. Or they got cheated on. Or there was a baby that was never born for them. And the list of life disappointments go on and on and on. And then in this story that we hear so frequently, people will tell you that there were so many prayers by them and for them. By other good Christians. But the problem didn't get better. The pain didn't go away. There wasn't healing. Whatever the problem was, it stayed. So many of them came to the conclusion that it was decided. They were finished with God. Because it didn't work for them anymore. They prayed and nothing happened. Their problem didn't go away. Their pain didn't go away. They weren't healed. It just didn't work for them. And a lot of people feel like that, that their prayers do not work. That their prayers are not heard. And then some of them end up walking away from God. And I guess all of us have become discouraged about a specific prayer that has not been answered before, in the way that we wanted it to be answered. Some of us may have decided to give up praying for that specific thing altogether. Some may have even decided to give up prayer as a whole, to not pray anymore for anything. And a lot of people stop praying out of frustration. And then we wonder whether our prayers would ever change anything in any case. If it will ever make a difference. So why bother? Why still pray? So how do we keep on praying when we get discouraged? How do we keep on keeping on? So Jesus tells the story, and it's important to see when he tells this story, to take note of the setting or the background, because some stories just fit in better in certain settings. I mean, if I want to tell you a ghost story, and I want to scare you with this story. It wouldn't really work well if I tell this story about ghosts to you while we are lying on the beach on a sunny day next to the lake. It won't be scary. But if I tell you that same ghost story next to a campfire and it's our last dry log that we've just put on the fire and it's a dark night and it's overcast and lots of sounds coming from the woods, yeah, the story would work way better. And it might even scare you. So the setting is important. So Jesus tells the story just after a whole section of teaching on the second coming of Christ and the establishing of his kingdom. Just after Jesus has said things like, nobody would know the hour of the coming of the kingdom. Nobody would know that. Just after he said things like, but first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. I tell you, that night, two people will be in one bed and one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left. He said that not everybody is going to. So he's teaching about the second coming of Christ. And right after that, we get into Luke 8. That was Luke 17. Then follows this story. Jesus telling these same people, there's not a change in the setting, so it's Jesus telling these same people we just spoke to about the kingdom of God, the second coming of Christ, and he continues with his story to the same people. And he knows that one of the biggest problems probably of waiting on the second coming of Christ, the full kingdom of God being established, He knows and anticipates that people would get discouraged, that people will become disheartened while they're waiting for this. And Paul also writes a whole lot of his letters about this. People and he warns them to not become discouraged in their waiting, to not become disheartened in their waiting. So after the teaching about the second coming, Jesus just puts it out there, anticipating what will come. Verse 1. So then Jesus told his disciples a parable that should to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And then he tells this underdog story out of God's very own heart. This is like this story. And it shows something of God's heart to the people listening to the story, to understand better what Jesus means when you say they should keep on praying. They shouldn't give up. And in this story, he uses two characters. One is a widow, a powerless victim who is fighting a losing battle. Because she had a very low status in her community. People were doing good to her because she was a widow, but she didn't have a high status. She had a very low status. Widows and orphans were the class of people that had the lowest status in the time of Jesus. Because a widow didn't have any possessions. She couldn't inherit anything from her husband. The whole estate would always be passed on to a male line. So if she had a son, he would inherit. Otherwise, it would revert back to a brother or a cousin or whoever. But never a female, never a woman. In the same way, the man, the husband, was also the voice of his family. And when he died, that family didn't have a voice anymore unless she had a son that was of adult age. So, because she didn't have a voice in the community anymore, a public voice, she couldn't go and complain anywhere. She couldn't bemoan her case anywhere. She couldn't participate in public debate. What if she could try, but people would just laugh her off because she didn't have a public voice. So her status was very low. And the chances for her to be heard by a judge were very slim. because of her status. Then there's the other character in Jesus' story, which is a judge. And whenever we hear judge, we think fair, justice, honest, respectable. So we are expecting somebody that would adjudicate her case in a fair way. We expect that you would give fair judgment on any case before it. But there's some more information about this judge. It's an unjust judge, an unfair judge. And all of a sudden, the chances that this widow had to be heard by a judge, which was already slim, is now even lower. But it's not that he's only unfair. He also couldn't be bothered about God or other people. He couldn't care less about anybody, not even God. And this is in a culture where everybody was God-fearing. It's a Jewish world, so if you weren't that great a Jew, practicing Jew, you'd still be a God-fearing person. You couldn't be bothered. So this judge is kind of like the prototype of the enemy that nobody wants to make. And definitely the last person you want to decide about your future. So this is the two people in this story. And a powerless victim who are seemingly fighting a losing battle, fights for herself with surprising intensity and passion, and then nothing could deter her. And she couldn't be bothered that this judge is unfair. She couldn't be bothered that he doesn't care about God. She had faith. She kept on going. And you know what? It worked. Regardless of everything counting against her, she gets relief from a problem. And God, in this story, God uses people that's unfair, unjust, who don't care about God or people, to work for a good outcome. And this woman ends up being the champion of the story. A woman that never stood a chance in the story ends up being the champion of the story. And in this story, there's nothing that can prevent God to have his will be done. So this is the story that Jesus told. The part that he wanted the people to understand better. But the story was kind of in the middle of what we read. So let's take out the story, now that we understand the story. Let's take out the story and just read the introduction to the story, because there's a prelude to the story. Now, we've got to the point of the story, but there's a prelude to the story, and then there's a concern after the story. So now, we've dealt with the story, so let's just read those things around the story. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. We have the story and we understand the story. And then the last bit with the concern. I tell you, he will see that they get justice with God, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So, Jesus tells the story after he's teaching about the second coming, the fulfillment of the kingdom. And he wants people to understand that they should keep on praying, even in tough times, when the tide has turned against them, without getting discouraged. Then he promises that God will help, and quickly. But this promise is based on us keeping on praying without getting discouraged and defeated. And after that promise, Jesus shares quite a big concern. His concern is that his followers will, in fact, grow weary, that they will become defeated, that they will give up like they turn. And he's concerned that they might even give up their faith today. In this interim time of waiting for that promise. Would you be able to just keep on keeping on like this woman in this story? We don't read, it's a very short story. We don't read how long she kept on praying, how long she kept on nagging this judge. We just read that the only reason why he gave her a favorable outcome is because he got annoyed by her. She just kept on for too long. But we don't know how long was that too long for the judge. We don't know how long that was. On and on and on. It's got a favorable outcome. Would we be able to keep on as long as this woman in the story in our prayers? Would we be able to keep on keeping on? Who knows? Maybe the answer we are looking for to our prayers is just around the corner. Who knows? Maybe the answer to our prayers is just as long as we spend already praying for that. It's still that far into the future. We don't know. But Jesus promises that he will help, that he will bring a favorable outcome. That's not when. But he's concerned that in the waiting, our faith might grow to steady. That our faith might completely be extinguished. If Jesus would return today for what was promised in the previous chapter of Luke, in chapter 17, if Jesus should return today, in what state would he find my faith and your faith? How healthy is our faith? We remember the story, the analogy in the Paul's letter to the Hebrews about the race. Our life is a race. The race of faith. And now it's not just a sprint. But he's comparing this to a long race, and even the letter to the Hebrews said, don't give up. In a long race, just because you slipped at the start doesn't mean you should stop competing in the race. Get up and continue your race. It's a long race. Previous Summer Olympics, 2016 Rio de Janeiro, in the 10,000 meter final. Did anybody see that? The track and field. There's a guy that fell halfway through the race. His training partner tripped him. He fell and quite a few guys ran over him and he did get injured. And then what happened? He got up, carried on. What else happened? He won the gold medal at the Olympics in that same race. I've seen a lot of videos of people in the Olympics, World Championships, track and field that fall, and then you see the video zooming in on their faces and they just keep sitting there with the defeated look on their face. Mo Farah just got up and carried on and won. Just because we slip somewhere in the race, as Paul put it to the Hebrews, if we fall somewhere on that journey, doesn't mean we should give up. It's a long race. We should keep on keeping on. 2020 just around the corner, 3 days from now. It's a new year. Are you going to give up on those things that you've been praying for so long? That you've been petitioning God for? Or are you going into 2020 with new energy, saying,
this year I will trust God for this.
I want to encourage you to be like this widow. That's the whole purpose of this sermon at the end of this year, at the end of 2019, going into the new year. To keep on keeping on. Keep on trusting God for whatever you have been trusting Him all this time.
God says, He's hearing our promises. He will give us an outcome to that. But He does have a concern that in our waiting, we might lose our faith.
Have 2019 been too harsh on you? Have it been too hard on you to keep your faith? If it has, 2019 is almost a has-been. Look into 2020. And I'm not big on New Year's resolutions, because they normally last as long as my memory, and that's not very long. But going to 2020 and do a resolution for 2020 this time. Write it down somewhere in a journal, put a page in your Bible, and write there what you are trusting God for, what you are praying for, even if it's something you've been praying for the last 20 years. And keep on keeping on. Keep on holding on to your faith. If you don't have something that you have been petitioning God for quite a while, find something. There's lots of things we can and should be praying for. If everything is hunky-dory in your life, just look at your neighbor's life and ask if there's something you can pray for him for. Find something to pray for with the same faith as this woman had in the story. To petition God for a good and favorable outcome according to His word. And keep on keeping on. Don't become internal. Don't become somebody that loses your faith because you're waiting on God to show you the answer to your prayer. We've got 3 days left, then 2019 is going to New Year and trust God and then really petition Him and pray and ask Him, and like we would do with a good parent, pull at his, have you seen a little kid asking his parents for something? Keep pulling on the, one of the garments, like a coat or something. Daddy, daddy, or mommy, mommy. Just pray to God. Spend that time with God and trust Him for faithful outcomes. In his story that Jesus told, this is how I work for my children. The favorable outcomes. But in that same pericope, Jesus also shared the concern that in our waiting, our faith might become concerned. My prayer for each one of you this year is, in the new 2020, is that will never happen to you. That your faith will not become weaker, and that you, with the same energy and passion and dedication as the woman of the story, petition God, and outcomes for yourself and people around you. And in all of that, the whole big bonus is that you are spending all that time with God and helping.